always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
The nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
The more you remove voting from Election Day, the more opportunity you're offering for people to commit fraud.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I think the Democrats are so short-sighted in this tactic they have now to just cheat at any cost to win elections.
You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
What are we doing wrong here? As a former leader in the House, I think you could put your finger on it. It's called leadership. We don't have it.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps.
And 4:05, and welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show.
Yonder, oh, there you are. Welcome to 4:05. Welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show, the Thursday edition. If you're watching on the stream on News Talk STL, you will see that my partner Tim Jones is not with me today. You'll also see that Joy V is not in the studio today. We've got Q, who produces Larry Connors USA. And Q, I want to say that today the audience has the Soul Patrol.
They do. They're going to definitely be guiding us through this one.
You know, if we had Gabe with us, I think we'd make history here today.
Didn't
we'd have
we
an all-male. Well, that was when me and Gabe did the Mike Ferguson in the morning show.
That's what that was.
We made morning history there.
Yes.
As the first African-American duo, I think. And I don't know if this is official or not, but I'm claiming it anyway. And I was just thinking, if we had Gabe with us today, we'd have you, me, Gabe, we'd have a true Soul Patrol, and I think this would be historic as well.
That's
probably
right.
Probably.
That's right.
Big show today, of course. The United States and probably the world is all holding their breath. Joe Biden is scheduled to have a press conference on NATO at 5:30 our time. It was originally scheduled for 4:30, but it's been pushed back. They probably had to let the drugs take effect more, or had to give them an extra shot. So they pushed it back for an hour. Do I need to use some type of disclaimer or something saying that?
I know at this point.
Yeah, I mean, people are already thinking that, you know, Joe Biden is not capable of doing the job. I mean, you're just kind of adding more suspense or more ammunition to the fire when he's supposed to have a press conference at 4:30, and it's been pushed back for an hour. You know, the conspiracy people will go absolutely nuts on this. Q, a lot of people are saying that if Joe Biden makes any type of mistake today, it will be the beginning of the end of his presidency. He will probably have to step down. Got a lot of stuff in the stack of stuff on more Democrats are calling for Joe Biden to resign, but to not seek the nomination. But if he does not do well today during this press conference at 5:30, which we will carry live when it comes on at 5:30, and my good friend Tony Colombo is going to come in as well. We'll give you a little analysis on the president's speech. But Joy, you guys all look like Q. Before we get into the big news of the day and our guests, I've got kind of a sad note. I mentioned it. What's today? Thursday. I mentioned it Tuesday that my cat Sadie. Was near the end of life. She had liver issues. She had a gallbladder issue. She had, apparently there's a nerve between a cat's eye and ear that if it gets infected, it completely screws up their balance. The eye literally kind of goes back in their head. So Sadie wasn't suffering. She wasn't in any pain, but she was very lethargic, didn't have a lot of energy. And so we had to, put her down today. And, I gotta tell you, I'm a 58-year-old man. This was my first pet. Literally, I didn't have any pets growing up. And, you know, I got Sadie 16 years ago. She was the cat of my best friend who died of an aneurysm. We got her 6 months. And so that, I get it now, folks. Those of you who have to put a pet down or they pass on and they go on to the rainbow bridge, as they say.
Right.
Man, I do get it. I gotta tell a sad little story about it. You know, when we were, preparing to put her down, she hadn't been administered any drugs or anything yet. And I was, you know, I was her person between my wife and her. And so she's looking up at me with those big cat eyes and everything. And I'm, you know, I'm crying. Mm-hmm. I'm bawling like a baby. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not exaggerating, folks. Her eye started, her eye started watering up. And I was like, wait a minute. It's like, is her eye watering up? And then I kind of moved her head a little bit. And she had a tear that was in her teardrop, you know, ready to come. And I was like, oh, my God, she's like crying because I'm crying. It was like an amazing experience. And I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, man, I don't want that to be the last image of my cat, of her crying while I'm crying. But, you know, my wife put it in good perspective. It was that that she was crying and was sad because she knew that she was leaving us.
Yep, that's right.
And she was no longer going to be with us. But my cat cried. I know that cat cried. Her eyes watered up. And one of the reasons why I believe that also, too, is one thing that I used to do would rub her face. Mm-hmm. Cat, yes, I am a tough Chris Arps, gruff political guy. I'm a softy at heart. But I would rub her face and all of that. Mm-hmm. And, she would do that to me. If I had her like kind of on her back, she would reach up with her paw and rub my face, too. So that is my tribute to my cat, Sadie Arps. She was, July 2008 to July 2024. She had 16 good years with us. And so, Sadie, we miss you terribly. And, I hope, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says that animals make it to heaven. We all hope and pray that they do. But I was thinking about that when I knew that we were going to have to put her down. I was like, man, what a wonderful thing that would be to be at the pearly gates and see my mother and all of my loved ones. And there's Sadie.
Sadie running up to you.
There's Sadie waiting for me as well. So I mean, wouldn't that be a...
They become family.
They do. They really do. I adore them. And I wasn't even a cat person at all. Right? But this cat just grew on me, and I love her. As I said, this is a big make it or break for President Trump today with this NATO press conference. They are still trying to do some damage control for President Biden. President Biden is scheduled to sit down with Lester Holt on Monday. This is his second network interview. You remember last week he had an interview with George Stephanopoulos. It did not go so well, so I wonder if they think that Lester Holt may be a softer interview. I don't know. People noted that whenever Joe Biden was doing these type of interviews where he wanted to get his side of the story out, he always chose ABC News. He chose George Stephanopoulos for the Friday night interview. He chose ABC News Tonight to do an interview. The speculation was that they were the ones that were the most fair to him. NBC was one of the stations that were not the most fair to him. So that's interesting to me that one, he has chosen Lester Holt. Do you think Lester Holt is a softer interview? And why are you going to a network where you believe has not been giving you a fair shake? So if he lasts, Q.
That's everybody's question.
Yeah. If he lasts, President Biden is scheduled to have a interview with Lester Holt on Monday. You know, we're talking about the dam is starting to break for all these folks against Joe Biden. Peter Welch, senator from Vermont, he was the first Senate Democrat to openly call for Joe Biden to resign. All of the eight or nine members that have called for the president to resign have all been in the House. Peter Welch from Vermont, who is a Northeastern senator, I think, you know, to me, Vermont, New Hampshire, all those states are all one to me. They're like right next to each other, about 100 miles. And you can go through five states.
It's all Biden land.
This is his backyard. And for Hadley, senator from Vermont, saying, Joe, It's time to go. That speaks volumes to me. You've got Michigan Governor Whitmer. She's on the short list for a lot of folks to take over for Joe Biden if he decides that that he can't go forward. Last week, she came out and said that she would not run for president, even if Joe Biden stepped down. Q, I don't know how much I believe that, because politicians never lie, right? So she could change her mind. Who knows? You know, somebody said, hey, Gretchen, we think you're the person to lead us to the promised land and win the White House. I don't think anybody is going to turn that down.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's the donors at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Is she going to be able to pull in the money?
I think Gretchen Whitmer would be a very strong candidate for them, strictly for the fact that it's Michigan. Michigan is a state that they need. Plus, the Democrats are going to try to make abortion a huge issue in this campaign. She's a woman. I mean, that's why they're holding their hats on Kamala Harris, even though she's an absolutely terrible replacement and everybody thinks she's a complete bimbo. Mm-hmm. But they think because she is a woman, and the last few months they've really had her out there talking about the abortion issue. A lot of the Democrats think that they can overlook the cackle and what do you think? I fell out of a coconut tree, gaffes, and she could take them to the promised land. I don't think so, personally. I think Kamala, even though she is, checks all the boxes, she's black, Indian, woman, am I missing, any of those? She fits all the boxes. The one thing though, the name of this administration is the Biden-Harris mm-hmm. administration, mm-hmm. and everything that, has gone wrong with this administration, she's responsible for. And remember, Kamala was appointed the immigration border czar.
That's right.
And so, remember, one of the things that she came up with to help with the border is we need to send money down to South America, strengthen their economies, and if their economies get strong, Q, they won't want to migrate to the United States. That was that was the grand plan that Kamala came up with, and she never did go to the border. I think she went to
she flew over the border.
She flew over the border, yeah. And then she went to like a town that was like 100 miles from the border, and they kept trying to say that she went to the border. You know, George Clooney, the great Hollywood. Are you a George Clooney fan? You think he made a good Batman?
I'm not opposed to George Clooney.
Okay. I remember, you know, I'm old enough, Q, to remember George Clooney when he was on, what's the show? Wasn't St. Elsewhere.
I know you're not questioning me about
it. Yeah. Dang. Come on, Q. You remember
Yellowstone? I don't know.
Well, you know, man. George Clooney was a TV star before he was a doctor on one of these shows on NBC back in the day. And, you know, people forget that Denzel Washington was, I think, on this same show at one time, played really? On NBC, was a doctor. Yeah. Denzel was a TV guy. Well, anyway, George Clooney, of course, he came out with an article he wrote, supposedly by himself, for the New York Times, basically saying that, that the president needs to drop out of the race. Here's some of the things that were in that article. He said, quote, "We are not going to win in November with this president. On top of that, we won't win the House and we're going to lose the Senate." He went on to say, "The dam is broken. We can put our heads in the sand and pray for a miracle in November, or we can speak the truth." And he also said that top Democrats, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem, and Nancy Pelosi, and senators, representatives, and other candidates who face losing in November need to ask this president to voluntarily step aside. Now, George Clooney's a big Hollywood guy. He's popular. You know, Democrats will vote for somebody because they're popular and think they have credibility on something because they're an actor. But as I mentioned yesterday, the big thing about Clooney doing what he has done is Clooney is sending a message to the Hollywood money, mm-hmm. the George Katzenbergs and Spielbergs and all of them who raise a lot of money for Hollywood, that, hey, it's okay to abandon this guy. He can't win. So they should be really, really terrified about that. Speaking of Kamala Harris, they have done polling recently that has shown that she is polling pretty good against Donald Trump. Now, This is a poll that the New York Times, I think, has come out. Now, they may have some type of incentive since they've done not only one, but two editorials calling for President Biden to resign. They've got a poll that shows Harris's polling is doing much, much better. You know, we talked about this yesterday with or Tuesday with Dr. Tobler. Mm-hmm. I read a report about the coronavirus is ticking up a little bit. And I was wondering, Joe Biden, the Democrats are doing terrible. Coronavirus is ticking up. Are they going to pull this off, try to pull this off again? Who knows? I got an article here, Q. Yeah, you guys all look alike. You guys are the same height about it, where it says that, now this is a surprise. Russia, this is from the Office of Director of National Intelligence, says that Russia is targeting specific demographics and candidates to influence the presidential election and down ballot races. They are also saying, surprise, surprise, that Russia wants Donald Trump to win. I mean, what they always say about the Democrats, they haven't had, I mean, they're still saying, hey, hey, ho, ho, I won't go, and using these 1960s type of slogans. They haven't had a new idea in a long time. And it's just amazing to me that it looks like they are sowing the seeds to try to say that we're in some type of pandemic and we need to guard against infecting each other. So we need to start doing mail-in ballots or some other thing that allow them to do shenanigans. You would think they'd be like, no, we can't pull this off.
The media carries the water for them. You know, all they have to do is mention it one time.
Exactly.
And the media will run it for them.
And they will run with it. And then when you are producing Larry Connor's show, you'll have a clip that shows 8 or 9 different shows, and they're all saying the same exact talking point.
Yes.
The same exact talking point. Q, it's great to have you with me today, friend. As I said, Tim Jones is out today. I think he will be in tomorrow. Joey will be back tomorrow. We got a big show coming up.
Joey won't be back tomorrow.
Oh, you?
Well, Joey won't be back till Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Yes. I don't think Joey checked with me on that. We'll have to talk to him when he comes back. Hey, we got Steve Bucci coming up. He's a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. A lot of news going on the military front, especially NATO, which is meeting in Washington this week. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk. Eternity's eyes like a vision reaching
down to you. Would you turn away? Follow Chris Arps on Twitter at Chris_Arps. What kind of words would cut through the clutter? Like and subscribe to us on Rumble. News Talk STL. Step right up and
don't be shy. So, Carl, talk about the new reporting you have about what Senator Majority Leader Chuck Schumer may be doing behind the scenes.
Well, first, to say that he's frustrated with Biden might oversimplify things. He's frustrated with the whole situation, especially the way the White House, the way Biden, the way the First Family has dug in and has said that there's no more discussion of this. That's the frustration, and Schumer is hearing from every quarter, from donors, from members of the Senate, from members of the House, that he, as a leader of the party, has got to do something to see that there is an orderly process in which the best candidate who could best defeat and face Donald Trump becomes the nominee. And there's grave doubt that that person is Joe Biden. Grave doubt among senators of the Democratic Party, grave doubt among members of the House of the Democratic Party, among donors.
428 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And yes, there is a lot of doubt among Democrats, Republicans, Independents, you name it. But are there doubts among America's enemies and allies? Let's see what our next guest thinks about that.
Steve Bucci, visiting fellow for special ops at the Heritage Foundation.
Oh, yes. What were you about to ask me?
Do you expect me to talk?
And as he does every Thursday, Steve Bucci, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Steve, how are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me back on the show. I love that intro.
It's really cool. It's one of our better ones. Well, Steve, as you know, being there in D.C., the NATO summit is happening this week, wraps up today. I'm sure traffic in the nation's capital was a nightmare. We have in this country kind of a crisis where folks are wondering if Joe Biden is capable of doing the job. Are NATO allies thinking the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely. They are asking the same question. It's particularly meaningful to them because, you know, we are in the midst of a severe crisis with regard to Ukraine and Russia. And, you know, Biden, even though we have a Secretary General of NATO, the United States is still the leader, regardless of who's sitting and executing the role of the Secretary General. So Biden's performance, his abilities, his dependability and ability to deal with stress is of significant concern to everybody in NATO and is being watched to the nth degree by them and by, of course, Vladimir Putin and other people who are not our friends. Mm-hmm.
Steve, NATO officially declared in a communique that Ukraine is, quote, on an irreversible path to NATO membership. We also learned that we'll be sending F-16 fighter jets to Ukraine finally in this deal. Talk about those two issues.
Well, there's a lot of debate about whether it's smart to bring Ukraine into NATO. You know, we did fast track Sweden and Finland.
Finland, yeah.
That was a big deal because those were both countries that have been essentially neutral, though they've been Western leaning for sure. Their connection with NATO now as full-up members sort of is supposed to be a deterrent for Vladimir Putin to not mess with them because, you know, of NATO's Chapter 5 commitment that if an attack on one is an attack on all. And so if he attacks those countries that NATO would by its rules and customs would all stand together against that enemy. And now it's one of the biggest justifications that Putin has given for attacking Ukraine is that, well, they were leaning towards NATO and we just couldn't have that. You know, that's not supposed to happen. They're in our sphere of influence and they could never go anywhere else. Well, I hate to tell him, but his former boss made Ukraine one of the four original independent countries when the Soviet Union decided to break up. And Vladimir Putin now wants to reverse that path. I mean, that's the whole purpose of his invasion. And this is really going to tick him off. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds. To be honest with you, he's for the most part been a typical bully, which beats his chest and puffs it up and makes demands. But when people stand strong against him, he's threatened to use nukes in Ukraine now since about the third week of the invasion. And obviously he hadn't done that, thank goodness. And he's said several times that actions taken by NATO countries to him are catamount to an act of war, and therefore he is going to respond against them. He has not done that either. So I think that the NATO countries are trying to stand together and say, we're going to make Ukraine a member to give them that umbrella of protection. And if Vladimir Putin doesn't like it, that's tough. But it's there, and if he attacks Ukraine further after that occurs, then, you know, he's got to stand in front of the entire NATO alliance. We'll see if they follow through, and then what he does in response to it. But it's a pretty significant situation.
Speaking with Steve Bucci, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Steve, according to three European officials and a senior NATO official in the New York Times, Trump advisors have told allied countries that they're going to reduce intel sharing. That's going to be part of a broader plan to scale back U.S. support. Your thoughts on those reports and is about intel sharing?
Well, you know, I hope that doesn't happen. The intel sharing that we do in between the NATO countries is really significant and important to all of the members, including us. But, you know, Trump in the past has gotten the NATO members to pony up more of what they said they were going to pony up as far as spending on military preparedness in conjunction with and in support of the NATO alliance. And when he said, you guys are either going to pay up or we're not going to protect you, they all did. And right now, the only one that's really lagging significantly is Canada, interestingly enough. Under Trudeau, Canada is way behind on what it's promised to do and what by its membership they are obligated to do. And that they're the weak sister right now in the alliance with regard to that, which is sad because they've always been, you know, our number one vital strategic interest because they're right on our northern border. We're, you know, together in NORAD and all these other things. So that's bad. But I think that some of the NATO members are going, oh, man, if Trump gets in there again, he's going to put the squeeze on us again and make us pay our fair share. Mm. He's never asked them to pay more than that. He just wants them to pay what their leaders have promised they would. And he knows, or they know, that he's not going to roll over on that he is going to hold their feet to the fire to do that spending and preparation. So I think all the people who are saying, oh, you know, he's going to ruin the alliance and it'll break up. He has never said he was going to break up NATO, and none of the actions he has taken in the past would indicate that he's going to. A lot of this is fear mongering. He will make them pay their fair share. That's for sure. And if they don't, well, then that's not him damaging the alliance, it's them. And the Democratic Party doesn't like that because they play footsie in the traditional diplomatic way where America says, oh no, you've got to do this, and then when they don't, say, well, okay, then we'll pay for it. Trump is saying, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. He didn't during his first term, and I don't think he will if he gets in for a second term.
Speaking with Steve Bucci, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation, learned of a little anomaly, Steve, with NATO today. According to, I think, Washington Post, Senator Eric Schmidt, our own senator here in Missouri, and Brian Schatz, a Democrat from Hawaii, have sent a bipartisan letter to Secretary of State Antony Blinken calling for NATO to clarify that Hawaii would receive Article 5 protections under the alliance. Apparently, Hawaii is not technically covered by NATO's treaty. What the world's going on?
I'm not sure. I'm not a lawyer. I haven't read that or ever heard that.
It's strange to me too.
I'm not ready to tell the two legislators they're full of baloney because they may have found something in there. Given that NATO came to the defense of the United States when we were attacked on 9/11, and they also were very supportive during Katrina when we needed help. That was really the first time after 9/11 that we required physical support from other countries. They have not left us hanging in either of those situations. I have a feeling they would say, you know what, that is that was not added in when you made that a state, but we talk about the United States. It was a territory when the treaty was signed, so it's still covered. And I don't think that's going to be as big a problem. This sounds to me more like, oh, let's make let's make some news here with this. I'm not bad mouthing your senator, I don't think that's one I'm going to lose sleep over, and I don't think the people in Hawaii should either.
That's okay, Steve. Next time the senator's on the show, we'll just play your comments back to him if you don't mind.
Hey, I learned from my old boss, Secretary Rumsfeld, if you don't want everybody in the world to hear your comments, you need to keep your mouth shut.
So
if I say it, I'll stand behind it, you know, and this, I'm willing for the senator to show me why he thinks it is, and I'll be happy to learn if he's correct.
That sounds like good marriage advice, too. But anyway, Russia has issued an arrest warrant for Yulia Navalny. She is the exiled widow that Vladimir Putin killed. Look, Vladimir Putin poisons his enemies. He blows his enemies out of the sky in their airplanes. Would Vladimir Putin kill or harm Yulia Navalny if she went back to Russia? Stupid question.
If I were her, I wouldn't go back. Particularly, you know, if she was just sitting quietly being, you know, the mourning widow and not saying anything, that'd be one thing. But she is still talking. She is pointing out to the world that her husband was poisoned and then captured and with a show trial whisked off to Siberia where he died. That's, you know, some pretty damning statements. So I think he would consider her an enemy. And with Vladimir Putin, if you're his enemy, you got to watch where you go and what you eat and everything else, because Vlad will come after you. That's his thing, man. He's a wet guy.
Yeah.
That's what he did for the KGB. You know, he was an assassin. So he's not a traditional diplomat.
Yeah. And I forgot too, Steve, he poisons people. He blows people out of the sky. I forgot his other method is people leave high-rise buildings without the use of an elevator. I heard that's another one of his ways that takes care of people. Hey, I want to get your thoughts on the Iranian president who was just elected, Masoud Pezeshkian. Iran is saying that, and some of the folks are labeling him a reformist. Do you think so?
Well, given the few public statements he's made since he was elected, I would say no. He's still saying death to Israel, death to America. Doesn't sound to me like he's much of a reformer. Is he a little more open-minded, perhaps, than the supreme leader? Maybe, but that's not a terribly high bar to exceed. Look, this guy was the health minister, right? He's a physician. The health minister in the Islamic Republic of Iran is kind of like being Dr. Mengele. It doesn't mean this guy's out there with healing hands, you know, comforting people and bringing them good health. He probably supervises some of their high-end tortures and other things to make sure they can make them last as long as possible. He is not a good guy. And if he was a good guy, if he truly was a reformer, the clerics would have never allowed him to become the president.
Yeah.
And anybody who thinks that is dreaming. That's not a free and fair election. That is a show election. You don't get to be a candidate if you're not sufficiently orthodox in the minds of the clerical leaders. And you darn sure don't win the election unless you're already one of their boys. Mm. So anybody who thinks this is a great step forward for democracy in Iran, read some of the stuff some of the expatriate communities around the world are saying about this guy. He is no better than the man he replaced. And maybe he'll follow him very quickly, you know, having aircraft trouble somewhere.
Final question for you, Steve. Satellite images a couple of weeks ago show suspected Chinese electronic spying bases in Cuba. How worried should we be about this?
We should be concerned about it. I don't know if worried is the right descriptive word. We should be watching them. We should be taking electronic countermeasures against them. It's like they've got a spy ship parked off our coast now, you know, that doesn't move. And that's not a positive thing.
What?
And but it's not a game changer. It doesn't give them anything new that they probably didn't have before, particularly with Joe Biden in office when he just, you know, doesn't want to tick the Chinese off in any way, shape, or form, and he lets them fly balloons across and do other things. I don't see this as a significant change. It's an in-your-face, sharp stick-in-the-eye kind of move on their part, but I don't think from a capability standpoint, it's that big a change.
And finally, President Biden is scheduled to give a press conference at NATO in about 45 minutes. What are you going to be looking for?
I'm going to be looking for him to be trying desperately to be coherent and, you know, and to pull it off without any gaffes. Everybody is watching for that. And, you know, most of his own party have already bailed on him and say he's not capable, you know, and the rest of us are all going, oh, now you're saying it because of, you know, the debate and the interview. The rest of us have been watching it for 3.5 years going, oh, my gosh, this guy is not there. You know, if he really screws up, it'll obviously be the nail in his coffin. If he pulls off a good performance, then he's got some more ground to push back against the people in his own party who are trying to force him out. I think, you know, President Trump's going to be watching, and it's going to be grist for the mill. He's going to probably, no matter what Biden says, Trump's folks are going to come up with something that President Trump can use against him in the election, whether it's in another debate or just in commercials. So this is every word Joe Biden speaks in public now is going to be sliced and diced and inspected and reviewed to see if there's any more indicators of his lack of competence. And that's, you know, that's the bet he made, and he's lying in it.
Steve Bucci, always great to talk to you. Thank you for your expertise. We'll speak to you again with you next Thursday. Of course, you're with the Heritage Foundation, and you can reach Steve on Twitter or X at S. Bucci. Steve, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Always. Have a great day. Well, he's got the best theme of everyone, I think so. Joey hit a home run with that one. That was a really good one.
Yeah.
4:47, we'll have Chris's Corner when we come back. We'll catch up on the latest Joe Biden, Donald Trump campaign news as we await the press conference of President Biden at 5:30. We will cover that live here on News Talk STL 101.9 941 News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Sometimes all I think about is you. Late nights in the middle of June. E-Way's been faking me out. Can't make you happier now.
It's the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show.
Late nights in the middle of June.
Like us on Facebook at News Talk STL.
Can't make you happier now.
The allies in this room not only share a common language, don't share a common language, we do not share a common border, but we are neighbors. We're neighbors.
He must be getting talking tips from Kamala Harris, because that was about the same gobbledygook that she says. 4:52, welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Again, want to remind you that at 5:30, the president is scheduled to give a live press conference at the NATO summit. The nation, the world are paying attention to see, can President Biden get through this press conference without making any major gaffes, without losing his train of thought, without saying a bunch of gibberish that nobody can understand. I mean, this is really, really high stakes today. I mean, this man's whole presidency depends really on this press conference today. We talked about it earlier in the show about all of the people that have been abandoning the president. You have the first senator from Vermont, Peter Welch, has called for the president to resign. We talked about it yesterday, how Nancy Pelosi, she hasn't really given a very strong endorsement on the president. She's basically have been saying that he has has to make the decision. He has to make it himself. No one else can. You know, that's not saying, hey, he's doing a good job. He needs to stay in, get off his back. I mean, that's pretty much saying get out of the race without getting out of the race. And Nancy Pelosi, you know, she's got the honorary title of Speaker Emeritus. And a lot of people think that even though Hakeem Jeffries is the speaker, she is still carrying a lot of weight. You know, what she should have done, I'm kind of sidestepping a little bit, but what she should have done, that when Hakeem Jeffries became Speaker of the House, mm-hmm. you need to resign mm-hmm. and leave. Mm-hmm. You've been there, you know, 25 years. You've been Speaker for 10 or 11 years. The new speaker doesn't need the old speaker hanging around and influencing people, not maybe directly, but people still listen to her because she has a lot of influence. And that's why it is so important about what she said yesterday. She didn't outright say that he needs to leave the race, but she left enough wiggle room there that people can know what she's talking about. And that is very, very, very significant. Joey, why do I keep calling you Joey? Q. Right. I'm gonna write
it at some point.
Look, I'm writing it down right here. Q and a big old Q.
Hey, call him. Still gonna call me Joey.
I know.
All right.
I called him Joey yesterday. I called him Joey Showalter.
And he was
like, yeah, he is my dad. I was like, you guys do kind of, you know, you guys are thin. You do kind of look alike. But I was going to ask you, Q, I know you're kind of into the Hollywood kind of popular culture scene. You look at TMZ videos.
I don't watch
you
any
don't.
Of that. No.
I figured all young people.
And that is the exact reason why I don't.
I figure all young people are into popular culture.
No. It's a spiral.
All right, you're right. Well, TMZ, of course, that is the famous Hollywood site mm-hmm. where they find celebrities on the street and ambush them and ask them questions. George Stephanopoulos, who was a communications professional, worked mm-hmm. in the Clinton administration, you know, a veteran, quote unquote, journalist. If you can see me on the screen, I'm saying journalist. He is not. He's a hack. But he was caught on camera. TMZ got it, saying to a passerby that he didn't think President Biden can serve another 4 years. That's on TMZ there. So, you know, they get into politics a little bit and the popular culture there. George Stephanopoulos telling basically the truth. And here's what I heard today that was very, very interesting. You know, a lot of people are angry because they're like, you know, how did you not know that Joe Biden was this bad? It's either you have been hiding him away because you know it this bad, or you're walking around with blinders on, you're completely stupid, and you don't realize that Joe Biden is out of his mind. I mean, which is worse?
I mean,
not noticing, you know, covering it up, or not noticing it.
I mean, that's the route that they took, though. They blindly followed that man until you get to the point now to where you can't avoid what you see.
Q, I know you're not a betting man, but if you had to put odds on Joe Biden surviving to the convention, being the nominee, what would you put his odds in?
To the convention?
Yeah.
Oh, now that's different.
Okay.
Because if it was Biden and Trump in November,
what do you think the chances of the Joe Biden will not be the Democrats nominee?
I'm talking plus, plus five, plus 450, you know, somewhere along those lines. Definitely an underdog.
Yeah. I don't really see him surviving.
We'll actually circle back.
Yeah.
circle back around after this interview, you know?
Yeah. I think that I don't see him surviving. The Senate wall that was halfway protecting him has broke.
Yep.
And we all know that Joe Biden is not going to do a stellar speech. And even if he doesn't stumble through it too much, he's still not going to reassure people enough to give him enough more time, I think.
And the pressure that's already on him about this, I think everybody, he understands, his staff understands what's at stake here. I mean, that's going to be added pressure. It's not going to be easy. He's going to be the Joe Biden that we've seen for the last 3.5 years. But
hey, give us a call. We'll be back at 507-312-1019. What do you think? Do you think that Joe Biden will be able to pull it off tonight? Give us a call. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9 94.1 News Talk, STL. The night is calm, but sometimes I think